two guys who love to see it. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you on a Tuesday. Continue our tour around the Big Ten West in spring with a trip to Champaign, and our good buddy Bob Osmussen covers the Illini for the Champaign News Gazette and IlliniHQ.com. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time. I remember the last time we spoke with you was certainly in the fall, and it was about certainly Lovey and what was turning the corner, and obviously the corner didn't get turned, and it's Brett Bielema who's in there, who I adored as a villain when he was at Wisconsin and loved what he did there. He's such a worthy adversary for us here in Columbus in the Ohio State program. What has he brought to that job that you've noticed right away?
Pretty easy. Competence. It looks like a football program in the Big Ten should look like. So everything's organized, everything's going forward. They just seem to have a clue what they're doing. I not to be too critical of Lovey, but he was never a good fit for here over college football. And I think these guys are clearly college football coaches, and I think that's what Illinois desperately needed.
Bob, what's this? When I think of Bielema, I naturally think of Wisconsin and the way they ran the football. I know that he wants to run the football. I mean, when quoted earlier this year, good teams do three things. They run the football, they stop the run, they cover kicks. As I think about college football now, yes, teams run the football, but it's spread, it's all this stuff. What's this offense look like at Illinois for Bielema? And there's two quarterbacks that are battling right now. Brandon Peters, the super senior, will be back. Isaiah Williams. They could not be more different as far as skill sets, body types. I mean, Brandon's, 6'4", and Isaiah's 5'10", and super athletic. They're just kind of – they're different. When do they make the decision on quarterback, and what's this offense look like for the Fighting Illini?
Well, it's really hard to know what it's going to look like because we have not seen them. We've seen them for 15-minute spurts. The spring game is a week from yesterday on Monday night, so we'll get a little bit of clue, but they're trying to hide everything. They want the whole thing to be secret all summer. But I think what the idea is, look back at his career. What did he do? He ran the ball. You know, that's the first option, first thing he wants to do. But he also wants to be able to be balanced on the offense. So I think they'll pass some. That tells me that Brandon Peters will probably be the starter. I'll be really surprised if it's not him. He's got a better arm. He's more accurate. He's got great experience. Isaiah's got a great changeup. He's got, you can throw in there like Juice Williams, not to bring up that subject, but he brings that to you. But I think Brandon Peters is a better fit for this offense, what they're going to try to do, and also because of the experience level. He's been in the Big Ten for 6 years, so.
Yes. That certainly helps, Bob.
Yes, 6 years.
Isn't that amazing? when you think about Bielema and the job that he did with Wisconsin, which is a continuation of what Barry had built to a very, very high level, what Brett had it going there. When you think about the job at Illinois that he inherits, what are the jobs? What's job one in terms of, is it in recruiting and development? If you are to have success at Illinois, what's the playbook for having it?
Oh, a couple of things. First of all, recruit the state better than Lovey did. I mean, they just gave up. They didn't. They let kids go to Wisconsin, go to Iowa, go to Michigan State, go to Michigan. It was like people fleeing the state. You can't let that happen anymore. The best players in Illinois, at least a chunk of them, have to come here because that's how you build. That's how you build long term. Like Ohio State builds with kids from Ohio. Similar thing here. So do that. Also recruit St. Louis, Indy, you know, nearby areas that have been well for Illinois over the years. And also go to Florida when you can. Go to California. Go to places, big places. But I think the main thing here is get better players. Start with the home kids and then go from there. You look at Ron Zook, what he was able to do here. He came here. He hit the ground running recruiting-wise. And then he built it up pretty quickly, got a bunch of big name players. They were pretty good. And I think that's what these guys can do. I don't think this is like a 5-year deal. I think this could be done fairly quickly. If he recruits well, if he gets some kind of hidden gems, I think they can be pretty good in 2 or 3 years. And I think that should be a goal.
Yeah, Bob, I mean, the West seems to be kind of all over the place. We were talking about it last week, and as you look through the Big Ten West and you see the stalling at Nebraska, and just Scott Frost cannot get anything going there. Minnesota had some momentum. They seem to be going back a little bit. Purdue had the momentum with Rondale Moore, and then it kind of stalled as well. Wisconsin seems to have some opportunity. Where do you see Illinois in the shuffling there in the West, as it kind of seems a little bit wide open?
It is wide open, and I think Iowa and Wisconsin are the two you look to first, just because they can have been there consistently over the years. But Iowa is going to have a drop-off because they've lost some great players. I think Wisconsin, again, they're a little bored, unknown to me, because we don't know how Graham Mertz is going to come back and play this year. They lost some guys, too. So, it's not Illinois is not going to be Wisconsin this year. They're not going to be at the level of Iowa. But if they can get to the level of Purdue or Minnesota, or even, you know, kind of where Nebraska was, I think that'd be a good goal. I think the main thing for Illinois here is just show some progress. Just show people, and I think these guys will have a chance to do this. Show people that you're going the right way. Show people you know what you're doing, and let recruits feel like, hey, if I go to Illinois, I have a chance to win. I have a chance to win the West. I have a chance to go to the Big Ten title game. There's some things here that are possible that are not the long-term view. Just do the right things.
Bobby, James and I talk about this, you know, over the course of the offseason, and, you know, you see what's happening in recruiting, and you see the type of dominance that Ohio State has had on the conference over the last 20 years, and it seems over the last 10 and now the last 5, the gap is getting bigger and bigger. And you've been around this league a long time, and I'll pose the question to you. Is this the biggest the gap has been between one program and the rest since you've been covering it?
Oh, not even, you're right, not even close. Yes, they're just so far ahead. Now, I think Penn State seems to have a chance to maybe make a little inroads there. I think they're the program, to me. I look at James Franklin being so stable, the fact that people there seem to really like him, the fact that he got a lot of talent in the state nearby. So they would be the one, I think, that they could make a run in them. But the difference, obviously, between Michigan and Ohio State right now is very vast. So I think, Ohio State is at a level, and obviously I've seen them be great over the years. We've seen them win titles and compete for titles, and obviously 2017 was really great. But they're at a different level, and I think, again, credit to this program for making a change from a really good coach, great coach, to another really good, great coach. So I think as long as that continuum stays there, Ryan Day stays there, there's no reason for him to leave. I think they're going to be good for a really long time and compete for titles, and it's kind of scary. So if you're everybody else, you almost kind of gang up on that guy, right, don't you? I really don't know, can you have Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Minnesota all play the same, you know, play one game against the Ohio State at the same time or something? I don't know what you do. I mean, they're just so far ahead, and it's really scary. And again, there's some obvious advantages. I always talk about how much I love to go to Columbus for games because it's such a cool place. I think that's a, you know, whatever you do there, I mean, that's your first advantage. You have 100,000 people, they're nuts, going to every game, and the fans there love that team. Unlike any team in the country, in my mind, maybe with this exception, Alabama. I think those two are pretty similar to me, so I don't know how you catch them. I think you kind of have to hope for them, and I hate to do this, negative roots, but I think you have to kind of hope they stumble a little bit for whatever reason. But I don't see that happening for now for a long time.
Yeah, Bob, we've been spoiled here for the coaching transitions.
That'd be fun to cover that team. I know a bunch of people that cover the team over the years, and I think they're all almost kind of not used to it, but I think they've, you know, become accustomed to it. I think the only issue there is access, which sounds like that's something that reporters talk about that fans don't care about, so.
Well, yeah, it certainly is.
It's better than Michigan's access right now, because nobody knew they had a spring game. It just happened, and boom. You know, next thing you know, you wake up and say, what happened?
Yeah, that would be a whole different animal because of the weirdness of the head coach there. But that's something we don't worry about. At least here, Ohio State has a normal, seems like a really nice guy. Ryan Day is a good, confident guy that, you know, he's not going to be crazy off the field. So that's kind of fun.
Bob, I'll get you at it real quickly on this, and I really appreciate your perspective on this. I don't think this is good for the Big Ten. Ohio State's dominance. I don't.
No, absolutely not.
Bad.
No, of course not. No, you're right. I mean, it's not bad for Ohio State. They love it because your fans are great and they show up all the time. And I think that's great for them. But yes, I don't think it's a good thing. I think you have to have somebody, a rival or two or three, that can compete. That's why, again, I don't like to always go back to 07 because now James on the line. But that was a great thing.
I blacked it out, Bob. Don't worry about it.
You played great in that game, so you didn't do anything wrong. But I think that game showed the rest of the Big Ten, hey, these guys are not unbeatable. For a second there, it's like, oh, okay, everybody else can compete. Now, it took an exceptional performance by Illinois in that game, and Ohio State slightly off. But that showed they're mortal, right? I think that's what we're missing right now. There's just no mortal element to Ohio State football right now. They're so dominant, not just only at the conference, but also the national level. So I just don't see it fading unless something goes wrong or everybody else kind of decides how to do this. And maybe that's Illinois. Maybe that's Wisconsin. Maybe that's Iowa. I don't know what's going to happen, but it seems like a long road for everybody else.
Bob, we just so enjoy talking to you, and we thank you so much for your time today.
Anytime, guys. Call me back in the fall. All right?
We look forward to it. Bob Osterson covers Illinois for the Champaign News Gazette and IllinoisHQ.com and is just awesome. It's just, his perspective is, it's rare, and it's interesting to get it from another level. So that's very, very good stuff.